1 Corinthians chapter 2. And Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now, of course, Paul's continuing his declaration and separation to the Corinthians about the line of demarcation between those who are of the Lord and those who are not. And this is very plainly set forth in this chapter. One thing that to me really stands out as he labors to show that what he came preaching was not the words of men's wisdom. Now, if you want to be considered to be wise in the world as far as what the world considers somebody who's really out here trying to do good and is really helping folks, then you would not be preaching what Paul's preaching. That's not the wisdom of the world. I mean, this what he's setting forth here, it's at odds with the wisdom of the world. And he said, "I didn't come trying to get you to believe spiritual things by using the wisdom of the world." Now, unfortunately, we live in a day and age when that concept has totally been thrown out the window. And the whole concept that is prevalent today is that we're going to take the wisdom of men, we're going to all get together and we're going to figure out the best way that we can get folks to join up with Christ. I mean, that's the line of thought. We've put a lot of research into this, and we know that it takes X number of dollars to get a soul saved. And so we got to get so much money gathered up so we can get folks saved, and we're going to design our buildings where it's all just right. We got to get the right lighting, and we got to get the right kind of music, and we got to get this, and we got to get that, and all of these things, because that appeals to folks. And surely, if we can appeal to folks, that's going to do them some good. Well, dear brethren, what Paul says is totally contrary to that. He says that don't make any difference whatsoever. None of that means anything. It's not of any importance. And he says, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't come trying to persuade you of something. He said, I just came to you preaching the truth. Because he says, I determined to tell you one thing and one thing only. And that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is the message of the gospel. And you can add all kinds of stuff and what have you, do whatever you want to do, but dear brethren, there's the gospel. Is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And the only thing that is going to benefit the people of God is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's what He said. And that's what He determined to do. And He said, the purpose for this was that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Because if your faith stands in the wisdom of men, if you take the wisdom of men away, what have you got left? Nothing in the world. I mean, if your faith stands in what some preacher told you somewhere, and the preacher dies, guess what? The basis of what you believe died with him. But you see, Paul said, we didn't come to you trying to get you to believe what we're saying. He said, we came declaring to you the truth of God, and God, who's rich in mercy, is the one who takes that and applies it to you. Because he said this. He said, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, or those who are set apart, those who are in that place where they have some understanding, which he describes down in the 14th verse. He said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And so he said here that we speak the wisdom of God. We speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, not of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, are we going out here with some coded words and trying to keep folks from hearing what we're saying? No. Was Paul doing that? No. But what Paul was preaching was an absolute mystery to men. I mean, it is absolutely something that men cannot know. Now, everybody likes a little bit of mystery. I mean, you know, we like to watch Sherlock Holmes and all of these kind of things, and we like books and movies and things like that kind of keep you guessing and wondering, well, what is the outcome? Well, that is the way that the Word of God, the truth of God, the purpose of God is to the natural man, to the world, to the wisdom of the world. It will never be able to decipher it. It'll never figure it out. It can't do it because it does not have the ability to interpret it. Why is that? Because it is hidden. And of course, we talked about this in the earlier part of the first chapter, how that it pleased God to hide these things. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to His Father, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. And so He says here, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto the glory of every man in the world. That might be in that new translation that you were talking about there a moment ago, but that's not the way that this reads right here, is it? It said this hidden wisdom which God ordained. What did He ordain? He ordained the hidden wisdom for what? for our glory, for the glory of the sons of God, for those who've been ordained to receive it, to the weak and the beggarly, to those who know themselves to be lost. You see, that's those to whom the hidden wisdom of God has been given. That's who He's speaking about here. That it was ordained before the world unto our glory. The Lord purposed to keep these things hidden from men and reveal them unto His people as it pleased Him. Now, that's not a thing pleasing to the ears of men who want to make the way of knowing God to be all up to men. To be an action of the free will. That a man can, whenever he gets ready, why, he can just get the Bible and he can sit down, he can learn about God, and then he can just decide, well, I think I'll just go and I'll know the things of God. I'll go off to a school somewhere. I'll go to a seminary or Bible school and I'll just learn about God. I can know it. No, these things are not revealed in that fashion, but they are given unto the people of God. Which none of the princes, he said, they were, now listen to the contrast here. He said, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, had they known what you knew. Now, take off your theological helmet for a minute and think about if the Lord Jesus Christ was here and you know what you know, not theologically, but that you'd been given a love for Jesus Christ and they were going to crucify Him, what would you do? You wouldn't want Him to crucify Him, would you? I mean, you'd do everything in your power to keep Him from being crucified because He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the kindest man that ever lived, the man who loved without any limit. You'd do everything within your power to keep Him from being crucified. Wouldn't make any sense to put the kindest man on earth to death, would it? What sense would that make? It makes no sense to the world. And so the Lord said that He hid these things from them because if they had known what you know, they would have never crucified Him. If the Pharisees had known that He was indeed the Son of God, as you know Him to be the Son of God, they would have never told Pilate, crucify Him, would they? No, they'd have fallen down and worshipped Him. But you see, God, who's rich in mercy for the great love wherewith He loved us, has He ordained this truth unto our glory. He kept it hidden from them. And they didn't know. Now, some would find fault with God over that. Would they not? Because, you know, God, I mean, if He's going to be, well, God's got to be fair, doesn't He? I mean, He's got to give everybody a fair chance and a square deal. Why, we just wouldn't want to serve a God that wasn't like that. But you see, God reveals that He has hid these things from the multitudes. He hid these things from the princes of this world, those in places of power. He did not give the Pharisees or the Romans. He did not give them the understanding of who Christ was. Because they would have never crucified Him. But you see, according to the determinate purpose and foreknowledge of God, He had ordered that Jesus Christ be slain on a Roman cross outside of Jerusalem on a hill called Calvary. Because you see, dear brethren, it was through that means that redemption was brought unto His people. Now, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? I mean, don't you marvel when you think about that just for a moment? That God purposed the redemption of His people. Like the old fellow said, the guy came to him and said, well, preacher, don't God give everybody a chance to be saved? He said, salvation is not by chance. Salvation is not by chance. Everybody don't have a chance to be saved because salvation's according to the purpose of God. And it's revealed right here. He said He ordained these things unto before the foundation of the world unto our glory, but He hid them from the princes of the world because if they'd have known what we know, they would have never carried this plan out. It had never been done. But it was done because He did hide it. And they could not see it. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory if they'd have known He was the Lord of glory. But the Lord didn't allow them to see Him as the Lord of glory. Now, was it plain as the nose on your face that He was the Lord of glory? It is to me. Isn't it to you? I mean, when you read the Word of God, don't you say, how stupid could they be? But you see, it wasn't given unto them, dear brethren. And you see, you didn't get that because you figured it out. Because if you'd have been there in their midst in that day and you had not been given this, you'd have been right there with the crowd saying, crucify Him! Crucify Him! Because you see, it was not given unto them to know. Well, what a privilege it is. Oh, what a privilege to be given eyes to see that. Because listen to what He said here. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now, that verse is usually quoted at funerals and stuff, and they usually misapply it because it's not talking about that. I mean, there is an application. It is a true thing that we don't know, you know, what the Lord has prepared in the eternal ages to come. That's a true thing. But the context of this passage right here is Paul is sitting here in wonder at the consideration of what God has done in the behalf of His people, and he said it's impossible that a man could ever comprehend that. I'm not amazed that people don't believe the gospel. How could they? How could you? How could I? Except God, who's rich in mercy, has shown it to us. Neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. You see, why do they love Him? We love Him, why? Because He first loved us. But we do love Him because He has wrought that in us. And there is a manifestation of His love. But God hath revealed them unto us. Revealed what? The things that He has prepared for us. See, He's revealed the things He's prepared. It's not entered into the heart of man by his ability, but God has revealed the things that He has prepared for us. So this passage in its context is not speaking about things that's going to happen in eternity, but it's talking about things that have been ordained to be given unto us in the present time. But it just didn't appear unto men. Nor to their understanding. But, dear brethren, it has been given unto us because He says so in that verse. But God hath revealed them to us. Now, how did He reveal them? Did we figure it out? Through long study? Or we finally heard a preacher that told us how it was? No. He hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. But God hath revealed them, what? Those things that He hath prepared for us from before the foundation of the world. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What did the Lord Jesus say about the Spirit? He said, I'm going to send the Spirit, my Spirit, into the world. And He says, He is going to lead you into some truth. Is that what He said? He's going to partially tell you the truth. No, He said He will lead you into all truth. Now, dear brethren, let me ask you, what is all truth? The Lord Jesus Christ said this to His disciples. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you want to know what all the truth is, it's Jesus Christ. He is the truth. Now, you know, men say, but there's got to be more to it than that. Not according to what the Word of God says. That is the truth. Oh, but brother, you need to know this. I mean, you know, go over here to the book of Revelation and see this, and you need to know this. Well, brother, I'm telling you, you don't need to know anything. But Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He is the Savior of sinners. He's the truth. He's the way. He's the life. He is the Savior. What more do we need? I mean, what do we want to know? Oh, brethren, He's shown us the truth. You see, most all false doctrine comes in when men start trying to tell men all these things that other people don't know. We're going to let you in on the secret. Well, dear Lord, dear brethren, the Lord has let His people in on the secret. Because there's only one secret. Now, it is a secret, and it has been hid from the wise and the prudent. But it has been revealed unto babes. And the secret is that Jesus Christ is the salvation of God. Now, that's not, I'm not talking to you in the flesh. I'm talking to you as the Spirit of God shows a man. Just like that Ethiopian eunuch who went on his way rejoicing. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He says, I believe He is the one who He said He was. And he went on his way rejoicing. How did he know that? Because the Spirit of God showed it to him. And when the Spirit of God shows somebody something, it can't be taken away because it doesn't stand in the wisdom of men. May the Lord give us a mind and heart as we come to this table today to remember the Lord's death till He comes again. Because there's not anything else that the Lord told us to remember. Now, people remember a lot of stuff. You know, they have holidays and things and they set them up and they say, well, we need to do this and we need to do that. We need to have this memorial and that memorial. Well, the Lord gave one memorial. He said, this is what I want you to do. To remember me. He says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are going to manifest, you're going to make it plain to those who've been given eyes to see. Now the world doesn't see this. The world sees this as just some kind of a little thing that you do. I mean, you know, everybody does it. I mean, you just take a little wine and what did old Trump say? You eat your cracker and you thing. I mean, that's how they look at it. It's just a religious thing. I mean, there's nothing to it. But dear brethren, there is something to this. To those who've been given eyes to see. Because this, according to what the Lord said, is the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that it's bread and it's wine. We know that. But you see, to those who've been given eyes to see, it's more than bread and wine. And that's why we are to discern the body of Christ. And if we don't, then we don't need to be taking this. Because we don't have eyes and mind towards what this represents. And the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has shed His blood for His people. See, that's important. Now, some people, they think that's not really important. Well, you can just believe that Christ died for everybody and it's fine. Well, Everybody's not a theologian, and everybody doesn't think about that theologically, but I'm saying this. If a man does think about it theologically, and he says that Jesus Christ died for everybody, then he dilutes what the whole thing means. Now, I know people can misunderstand things. And I'm not saying that everybody that doesn't write out some thesis on who Christ died for and might say something different than what I'm saying doesn't have an interest in the blood of Christ. But what I am saying is this. Those who've been given eyes to see know that Christ shed His blood for the sins of His people. And that there's nothing else that is necessary for the satisfaction and the payment for their sin before Almighty God. This is a transaction that took place. And there's nothing to be added to it. And thank God nothing can be taken from it. It's a definite atonement. He did something. And that's why we can't come here. I mean, we don't come here just to say, well, you know, we sure hope this is sufficient. No, we come here saying we believe it is. We believe it is. Because we believe that Christ shed His blood and had His body offered for our sake. May the Lord help us as we